800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's a warning to North Korea about what might happen if it continues to threaten the United States like it's never heard before from an American leader.
They will be met with fire, fury, and frankly power, the likes of which this world has never seen.
And that warning from President Trump yesterday to North Korea is now being met with a threat from North Korea, which is saying it will send a missile towards Guam to show what it's capable of. Robert Litwack served on the National Security Council during the Clinton administration and says we're running out of ways to deal with North Korea.
We basically have three options to deal with the North Korean challenge: bomb, negotiate, or acquiesce.
The alleged killer of Clinton, Missouri police officer Gary Michael during a traffic stop on Sunday night, Ian McCarthy, has been apprehended. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
Hey, Dad, ready for golf?
Hi, son. I'm not sure I'm going to make it today. My arthritis is acting up this morning.
Dad, have you tried Blue Emu?
Have I tried what?
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Works fast, penetrates deep, relieves pain in your achy muscles and joints.
But I don't want to smell like a medicine chest.
You won't. Blue Emu's non-greasy and odor-free.
In that case, let's play 36 today.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
More now on North Korea, and one expert saying while there are concerns about its weapons program, it's not time to panic yet. Here's USA Radio's Jason Wirt.
Major buzz in Washington after reports claim North Korea has been able to miniaturize a nuclear warhead, which could put it on top of an intercontinental ballistic missile. But Peter Brooks of the Heritage Foundation tells USA Radio News that doesn't necessarily mean it's a big threat yet.
There are tremendous G-forces, pressures, and temperatures that a warhead has to survive and route its target, traveling great distances. So we don't know that. We also don't know how well they can target these missiles.
I'm Jason Wirt.
Fans are mourning the death of country singer Glenn Campbell at the age of 81. And the Wichita. The singer had struggled with Alzheimer's for years. He's best known, besides this tune, for his hits Rhinestone Cowboy and Gentle on My Mind. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Allergy congestion. Cut grass. Cat on the sofa. Dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
The latest on the case of a high-profile U.S. military deserter. Here's the update from correspondent Mark Mayfield.
A military judge in North Carolina is going to allow testimony from two soldiers who were hurt in their search for accused deserter Bo Bergdahl. The Army sergeant was in court on Tuesday for another pretrial hearing. Bergdahl is accused of abandoning his post in Afghanistan back in 2009 before being captured by the Taliban and held captive. The Obama administration negotiated his release 5 years later. Bergdahl's trial is set for October 23rd.
President Trump says the nation will win the battle against opioid drug abuse. He spoke to reporters during a meeting on the opioid crisis at the White House yesterday.
And I'm confident that by working with our healthcare and law enforcement experts, we will fight this deadly epidemic and the United States will win.
Meanwhile, Trump's presidential campaign is cooperating with the Senate's Russia probe as the panel was asking for all records regarding any attempts to gain information from Russian government operatives or related sources. And Bloomberg reports Donald Trump Jr. and former campaign manager Paul Manafort can't afford it, have turned over thousands of pages of documents as part of the investigation. And after being in it for 2 years, David Letterman is coming out of retirement, reportedly returning to TV courtesy of Netflix. He's booked to host 6 episodes of a new show next year that does not yet have a name. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is a special episode of Talented People today. It is actually only 1:06 on August 9th. I have our guest who is just actually doing the commercial for Modern Design in studio today. His name is Richard Scuderi, and his book is The Lonely Boy. If you've been listening to Hunter and Chamber Radio lately, I'm sure you've heard of the book and probably a little bit about it because he's been on several of the different shows. But today he's all mine and yours after I give you the weather forecast. So if you happen to be in the area today, it's absolutely gorgeous out, okay? Sunny this afternoon with a high of 84, patchy fog after 3 a.m., otherwise mostly clear tonight with a low around 58, patchy fog before 9 a.m. on Thursday, otherwise sunny with a high of 85, partly cloudy again with a low of 61 on Thursday night, and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly after 3 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high of 81 on Friday, and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms continuing mostly cloudy with a low around 64 on Friday night. Just a chance of showers and thunderstorms possible after 9 in the morning on Saturday with mostly cloudy with a high of 81, and then the same with a low about 66 on Saturday night. That continues through Sunday. Chance of showers and thunderstorms possibly after 9 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high of 84 and a low of 65 on Sunday night. So that's the weather forecast. We're going to go to our break again. This is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy with a special episode of Talented People featuring our author, Richard Scuderi, and also host and very, very prominent business owner as well in Hunterdon County and around the area here of the state of New Jersey. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is a special episode of Talented People. We're so excited today because we get to feature one of our own radio hosts and prominent business owners. His name is Richard Christopher Scuderi, and his book is called The Lonely Boy. It just came out within a month ago, and it's explosive to Barnes & Noble and across the internet. Let me tell you a little bit about Richard. He's been an interior designer and home stager for the past 20 years. He's passionate about design and hosts a weekly radio show here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, Hunterdon Chamber Radio, on the latest design trends. He teaches, mentors, and does live appearances where he shares his knowledge of the design industry. He's worked, he's highly sought after, by the way, and he's been featured in many articles and magazines, including the Star Ledger, Design NJ Magazine, and he's participated in The Mansion in May and the tour of homes benefiting the Somerset Hills Learning Institute in Bedminster. Richard is a strong advocate for human rights and anti-bullying. He encourages an environment of inclusion and kindness, particularly to the elderly and the LGBT communities. He is currently working on a local television program where he will continue his design background, real estate experience, and his degree in communications and broadcasting. But today, we're talking to him about the book, The Lonely Boy.
Wow, what an open that is. Thank you very much. I don't know how to top that. Maybe say goodnight.
You have an amazing bio. So we just love to be able to learn about, you know, who we're talking to and who out there is listening, and they get to know a little bit again about Richard Christopher Scuderi. He's the author of The Lonely Boy. You can get it on Amazon or just about anywhere. He's doing book signings.
Sure.
All right.
If you want a local resource, the Barnes & Noble, particularly the Bridgewater store on 202, has really taken a liking to the book, so I know there's a bunch of copies there. I will say it has sold out 3 times there and also on Amazon, which is kind of surprising.
That's an incredible achievement, as our listeners of talented people out there know. We've had many authors over the years on the show, and it's not easy to have that happen, especially on launch.
It isn't, and one of the things that I wanted to say, and maybe if I can inspire some other people, whatever your journey is or you're passionate about, put it down on paper, write it. You know, I never thought in a million years my thoughts would be something that could give somebody else some insight or some hope. And a lot of people have that. Everybody has their own energy that they bring to the table. Don't be afraid to try something and write. I never thought this would happen. I never thought I'd sell this many books in such a short period of time. People are contacting me, and they finish reading the book. They look me up online. They go to my website, and they leave me questions. They have questions for me. And when you invoke conversation, particularly about my subject, which has a lot to do, it's my memoir, but it has a lot to do, frankly, with mental illness and depression and anxiety specifically. When you start a conversation, I think that's always a good thing.
Absolutely. Okay, so this is the thing. For everyone out there who is sitting next to their, like, radio, computer, whatever they're doing to listen to this show, let's start off with telling everyone a little bit about you.
Sure.
Tell us about you, Richard Scuderi. It's S-C-U-D-E-R-I, if you're looking them up.
Scuderi, which actually means shield. Believe it or not, I don't look it, but I'm all Italian. So Scuderi in Italian means shield. And in Italy, it's a store. It's like a department store, and you see Scuderi and so on.
Interesting. Interesting, especially being in the interior design.
Right. So I grew up where there were no Scuderis, and now for some reason in my later years, do you know so-and-so Scuderi? In fact, Rachel Ray, the host and cook, she is a Scuderi. Her mother is Elsa Scuderi. So they're around.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think my grandfather and his brothers came over from Palermo, Sicily, and they were sort of all over the country, and that's how it came to be. But a little bit about me, I guess I'm the son of a general contractor who built custom homes. So as for early as I could remember, I was at construction sites with him. I remember one time we were in between two buildings in downtown New Brunswick, of where I grew up in New Brunswick, and my father said, just jump. I said, are you crazy? I'm a kid. You know, so for as long as I can remember, I was with him on construction sites in the truck and doing stuff, and I just loved it. I loved it. For me, though, somehow the thought in my head and the skill on the end of my hands of hammering that nail in, which was always a little bit crooked, wasn't where it went. It was more in the creative element of it. It's a staging. I would look at houses, including when we were building our house. I would look at framework of houses and how they were structured and laid out. And I could already see at 5 or 6 years old how you could make it more open or lighter windows or the juxtaposition. And that's kind of where I got my love for interior design and building and architecture. And it just sort of fed me.
How nice. My son actually is going to school for that, so I can relate completely to what you're saying. I see it in his eyes.
Sure.
It's nice when people think that way. So let us go first to our first break here. It's already 1:14. That way we can dive right into the Lonely Boy book.
Sure.
And learn about the book and more about you on Talented People Here, special episode today. It is August 9th. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and my guest is author Richard Christopher Scuderi. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pamby's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pamby's Purely Delicious.
You are the ice cream man, baby. Stop me when I'm passing by.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. And my guest is author Richard Scuderi. And he's the author of the book, The Lonely Boy. And you might recognize his voice because he's also one of the hosts here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. Mm-hmm. So, okay, welcome back, everyone. Thanks for listening in. And Richard, tell us about the book. Where did it come from and what's it about?
You know, it's funny. It didn't start out even as a book. It started out as something that I was going through. If you read the book, you'll know that I went through, as many of us do, a period of a lot of things happening, volatile things happening. I went through a big illness. I'm the survivor of a brain tumor. In fact, a very fast-growing and dangerous brain tumor that left me temporarily blind.
Oh, my God.
So on the heels of that, some things happened. My father had a massive stroke, and there were a lot of things that happened. And for me to keep myself calm, one of the things that I did when I was having insomnia, and many people who have depression and anxiety coexist with not being able to sleep. At night, initially, I was just on Facebook and playing and doing nothing. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I should do something with this. I should write about how I'm feeling. Not necessarily to write a book that people would read, but just something for myself. So I started to gather my thoughts, and I started to write them. And 4 years later, it kind of turned into a book.
So what is the book about, The Lonely Boy?
So The Lonely Boy is sort of a memoir, but the bigger piece of the book that I think is appealing to most people is it's my struggle through the years. I'm somebody that has an amazing recall, so I do remember a lot from the early years, and maybe this is the reason that God gave me the recall, which could be a good or a bad thing, was that I talked about struggling always, for as early as I can remember, with depression. Anxiety came on in the later years, but dealing with depression and how a 5-year-old handles it, how a 12-year-old handles it, and how I got through it, the things that happened to me that life threw at me, that throws a lot of people, or at that time, a lot of people. And it was the survival skills that I felt might be helpful to pass along to other people. And in fact, even though the paperback has only been out for about a month, I've been getting phone calls, emails, letters from people. One of the ones that stands out the most and really touched me was I was working at two locations, one out here in Hunterdon County in Ringo's, and then one up in Maplewood in the Village in the downtown section.
And what's it called?
They're both called Maven Hill Designs.
Okay.
And but stores, you know, there's retail stores with things as well you can come in and buy. So I was working with a woman in Maplewood, lovely woman, and she didn't tell me she got the book, but she says, I just want to thank you. And I said, why do you want to thank me? She goes, my son is in seventh grade and he has depression. And you were in seventh grade when you had your first recollection of depression. And I got it from his perspective. He's not communicative, but I got from you, the seventh grader, how you were feeling And as a mother, I knew how to compensate or what I should do based upon what you were feeling. So if no one else buys the book, and please buy the book, but if no one else buys the book, I feel like I did something with it. So therefore, I wanted to share it with other people. And that's very rewarding.
Oh, it is extremely. Sure. What about, what can you give us an example of one of the stories about how you were as a seventh grader?
Well, so for me, one of the first times that I was actually sort of diagnosed or it had been noticed that I was suffering from depression is when I went from grammar school to middle school. I started a new school. Sort of between in the middle there. And my seventh grade teacher, Mr. Veda, on parent night. And I had no recollection of or no acknowledgement in my head that I was depressed, but my teacher felt I was. And he took my mother aside and said, I think he's depressed. So they brought it to my attention, not exactly knowing what depression was. And I don't know really what happened, but within a few months, my teacher met with my mom and dad again, and they said, no, I think he's assimilating, and it's okay now. But it certainly was present there, and I certainly now, in retrospect, yeah, I wasn't feeling very happy. Maybe it was a change of environment. I'm somebody that doesn't like change. I resist change, which is kind of ironic because I'm creating change every day in people's houses.
That's hysterical.
And for me, maybe that was the change or the comfort level or what was going on in my life at the time that I was having a hard time with. So that talking about how my mother handled it gingerly and what I was feeling and but not being able to articulate, I think that helped that woman. So I think that was quite good. Because you do, when you're at different stages of development, it's very important, I think, how you address some of these mental health issues.
Well, that's the thing you were mentioning also. You said survival skills.
Sure.
Can you explain that?
Well, you know, for me, my depression has come and gone, as often illnesses like this do. But when they were intense, when I got to be about 30 years old, I had my first panic attack. I'd never had one before then. And for those of you who have never had one, they are just horrific. Sort of hard to explain, and if I didn't have this, I probably would say, oh, you're just stressed, you know, and not sort of get it. But it's your brain just being at its limit and it can't function anymore. And I was in a restaurant in Washington, D.C. I had just seen my friend Rick, who was my best friend for many years, and he had developed a heart problem. His mother and sister had this heart defect, and he was diagnosed with it, and he wasn't well. And I'm somebody that's a little bit psychic, and I felt that. I felt like I wasn't going to have him a long time, and we were young people. And it hit me hard, and we had lunch with him, and I left him, went on to Washington, D.C. When I was having dinner, I guess the thought of him dying really got to me. And as I was eating, I started to have this wave come over me like nothing I knew. And I said, I don't feel well. We got the check, and I collapsed on the sidewalk on a Sunday night in Washington, D.C. I thought I had a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
It was so frightening. Went to MedMerge and so on, or whatever it was at the time. And showed no damage or anything. Went back to my doctor, and he said, what you had was a panic attack. I guess your mind can only process so much, and the thought that this young man was going to have a short life, somebody who was very important to me, just got to me. And that's one of the problems. I feel things very strongly, which I used to always think was a blessing. Now it's kind of a mixed blessing.
Yeah,
and that's hard. That's just the way life goes. Unfortunately, I did lose my friend. He died at 47 of a heart attack, so it was heartbreaking. But the reason I wrote the book, again, is you have to be able to overcome those things. You know, I miss him all the time, and sometimes I even talk to him, and I think he's around. I believe he is. It's the going on after you lose a person, a friend that you've had since you were a kid, and live your life and not live it in such sadness. Do you know what I mean?
I have had a scare of that. I haven't had my business partner, my best friend, actually, Colleen Kelly, even though you know her here. Mm-hmm. She was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I can totally relate to your story.
Sure.
Because when I found out about her being sick, I lost my mind.
Right.
Like Xanax.
Right.
I was at the doctor's, help me. I don't even know. Thank God.
Sure.
She's okay.
Right, thank God.
But I'm sorry, and I do relate to what you're saying. When it comes to the panic attack, I think it's interesting the way you described it as like your brain maxing out.
Yeah, just
like,
you just can't process.
When that happens, do you have them recur? Or is it just one time that you had the panic attack?
So for me, what happened, if I could just sort of follow through, so people who don't have it are able to see, it was something that happened, and then I went to see a doctor, and I went on medication. And it changed my personality. I didn't like it. I became very calm, and I'm not a calm person.
Oh, that's interesting.
One of the reasons I've had some successes, I think, is that I'm motivated. I'm very motivated to try things and do things and so on. And without telling anybody, my friend Mary Alice, who I was working with at the time, said, "What's up? You're not you." She knew. So it scared me, and I stopped it, and it was fine. But then many years later, it reappeared, and they were frequent. And I had two trips, $2,000 each trips to the
emergency room.
The first one, they didn't know what was going on. They did all the heart stuff, this, that, and the other thing. The second one, after 5 minutes, they said, I heard them say, call psych. They knew. Once they know your vitals are there, your history, and so on, they know what it is. I decided after the second $1,000 round, I better, you know, get this in check a little bit.
So what'd you do?
So I went to see a doctor again, and I realized I had to accept the fact that maybe, at least temporarily, I did need some medication to do that. So initially I went on, and this is very dangerous, and I want to pass this along to the listeners, is the doctors put me on something called clonazepam, or Clonopin, as they call it. And that's supposed to calm you down. If you feel like you're going into a panic attack, you take it. And it's sort of just on an as-is basis. If you have that thing, it's sort of the antidote, if you will.
Okay.
In the early years, it took a while to process. Now they can, it just slips on your tongue, and it stops it in its tracks.
Wow.
So there's a comfort level with having it. But what happens is, like opioids and other drugs, it is highly, highly addictive. And Mr. Goody Two-Shoes his whole life developed a dependency, a drug dependency on clonazepam. And I couldn't get off it. I had them. I had little yellow pills all over. And it became a very big problem in itself by being prescribed that. So I, when I hear people are on that drug, I go, you got to do something else. Eventually, I was able to find a doctor that weaned me off that and put me on an antidepressant. It took a while because you have drug withdrawals. It was really terrible. And now I'm completely off it. I haven't had one in a couple of years. And I do keep them with me in case I have a problem, but I've been able, just on the antidepressant and therapy, to work some through some of my things.
And now all of this is in your book?
It is.
So you tell, you're very honest with everyone.
You know, so a lot of people say to me after the book first came out, boy, you're brave. Mm-hmm. I don't see it that way. I see it as I started to write the book, I started to write things that I thought weren't very attractive within myself and sometimes within other people, but mostly within myself. And I said to myself, can I do this? And then I thought to myself, if you're going to put yourself out there and you're going to try to help people, you can't say everything is flowers and puppies, because then you've done nothing. It's
right.
It's a vanity piece.
Oh, yeah.
So I went back. In fact, I added one chapter that I rewrote after the book was done, because I was like, I'm not being honest enough. I'm not saying... This is how life works.
Honestly, that's probably why your book's doing so well. Because if that's the case, that is unusual. Because people, they start to write a book, and then they decide to take out their personality because they don't, you know, they put a little screen up. Like, what did you call your last name? What does it stand for?
Oh, Shield. Exactly.
You let go of the shield here.
I did let go of the shield. And, you know, I haven't looked back. And I just said, okay, it is what it is. Sometimes when we hide things, I think, sometimes when we hide things, they're actually worse than they are, or we make them worse than they are. But and I write in this book, when you finally tell your truths, it's very freeing. And for me, it was. And so far, what I've received back is unbelievable love and kindness. I will go to a wedding, and inevitably, it will be a woman that will come over and give me that extra hug and say, I'm so sorry, your life was so hard, and so on. And I tell people, I didn't write the book because I was looking for a woe is me. I'm not a woe is me kind of person. It's about perseverance, and that... you can get through anything, and you can hold your head up high. Even if you don't feel so good, which I'm still working on, you can hold up your head high, and you don't have to. You can go to the next level, and you can have a happy life. And when you're in terrible depression, you don't think you're going to live the rest of the day. You just can't see beyond it. But there is hope beyond it, and that's. I hope I inspire people to feel that they can get beyond their own agony, their own pain.
Wow, that's very, very intense, and I think it's awesome that you're sharing everything so honestly with everybody. Do you have a couple of tips? I know we want to hear all about your book process of actually going through becoming an author.
Sure.
Tell us more about some of the survival skills or what you kind of think of as some of the most important parts of the book.
Well, let's talk about depression in itself, and I think that has to be clarified because I think people use that term sort of with anything. You know, my team lost, I'm depressed. I'm going to have a birthday, I'm depressed. Depression isn't sadness. Sadness is normal. When your friend was sick, you were sad. You love her, right?
Right.
If your job changes, you might be sad. If you have to make a move for your job to another state and you have, you built a base here and you have a change, that's normal. Depression isn't sadness. Sadness is normal. If you didn't feel sadness, actually you have a mental disorder because something's wrong with you.
Wow.
Life runs the gamut.
Fascinating.
No, but life runs a gamut. It's pluses and minuses. That's how life works. We have ebbs and flows. That's normal. But when you have sustained sadness that doesn't allow you to function, when you start to change the core of who you are because something else is going on, that's depression. And that often leads to illness. You know, in the book, and I don't want to give too much of the book away, but I suffered two major illnesses. And when I was 27 years old, I was diagnosed with a thyroid tumor, and I had a thyroidectomy at 27.
Wow.
And then at 45, I had the brain tumor, and which left me blind. And it was a very, very large tumor. Almost all the doctors I went to around the country said I'd had to live with a partial brain tumor and could be blind for the rest of my life. So I often think that it's the disease in my life, the sadness, that led me to the tumors, to be honest with you. I say in the book, I've come to realize that tumors are nothing else but concentrated sadness. And I think that I've oversimplified that perhaps, but I think there's a core to disease and dis-ease. I really do. I think they're correlated. I think when you're happy, you know, your body's flowing. Everything's doing what it's supposed to do.
Well, I do know. It is true. Like when you talk about, like, I know that there are people who are so either stressed or they're so depressed that their backs tend to give out.
Yes.
A lot of back relationship with that.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So that's very important that you know that you have depression. And then after you have depression, I think it's important, and what's helped me a lot after I got help is tell people. Don't be afraid. I grew up in a household where you didn't tell anybody anything. Mm. My mother would say, don't, because that was the generation she was raised in. She was a beautiful, proper lady, and she said, we don't tell anybody.
Don't offer information.
I lost my mom very young. I was a college student my senior year of Montclair University to leukemia. And she went from 3 weeks from diagnosis to death, and beautiful lady, you never thought anything like that would happen.
Oh,
but when she was diagnosed, the first thing she said to me is, don't tell anybody. And those were times were also different where you didn't talk about those things, but I'm used to that being my life, and I've loved that for a very long time. But what I've come to realize for my own body and my own self, and times which I think are just more open today, is it's not so healthy to keep all those secrets. I think they do things to you and to your body and so on. And I feel sort of lightened by the fact that I just let it all out there and let it go. And it wasn't meant to hurt anybody, and I hope it didn't. It was just meant to heal.
Right.
My healing, as well as maybe other people could find some sort of an identity or something in that. And know that there was a conversation. If somebody wanted to talk to me about it, and I'll talk about that at the end because I've started an outreach program for anxiety and depression, that they can call me and they can. And people are doing that. I'm getting emails and phone calls all the time, which is kind of nice.
Well, just go ahead and tell us about that.
So one of the things I noticed after the book was done, and you know, the book is very new. It really only has been out as a paperback for a month. So, and sold a lot of books in a short period of time.
The book is called The Lonely Boy, by the way. I'm Jeannie Murray. This is a special episode of Talented People. And the guest that's speaking here today, author, is Richard Christopher Scuderi, S-C-U-D-E-R-I.
Right. And you can get it at many sources, but you can get it at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com and at local Barnes & Noble stores. In particular, they're stocking a lot at the one in Bridgewater, New Jersey on Route 202. So, you know, the whole thing with the book and survival skills is, I think, relating it to my maturity in my life. So what people have said to me, what I've read online, because I got a couple of 5-star reviews, which was nice.
Nice.
Was that they identified with certain times in their life. Maybe it was because 1978 and something happened, or maybe because it was 1983 and something happened, and it was relatable. So that's why I think the book is striking sort of a chord with people. And very important. So after the book was done and people found it so identifiable, to answer your question, what happened was is people were contacting me. They were going to social media, they were calling, they were going to my website, and they were saying, I have questions, I have problems, I have this, I have that, I went through a divorce, I'm depressed. And so many people were reaching out to me. I felt that you can't stop by the book. You can't throw out what happened to me and I can't give the book away, but you can't throw out what happened to me and say, okay, I'm good now. Fine. you had to do something about it. So it led me to believe that I needed to do something further. And although I think I'm a compassionate person, I'm not a medical professional. So I sought the resources, and Ruth is going to be one of them right here from the station.
Ruth Altamura Roll.
Exactly.
She's just like, yeah, I love her.
So, and she's great and very open. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, we've done a joint venture. It's the Hunterdon support a group for anxiety and depression. We're having our first meeting on Wednesday, August 23rd at 7:30 at the North County Branch Library in Clinton, New Jersey. If anybody wants to call me and reserve a space, which is what you need to do, there's no cost. It's 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. And when I say we're going to have coffee and we're going to talk, and that's what we're going to do, and we're going to meet once a month, and people are just going to talk about their life experiences, what works for them, what doesn't work for them, and just to give them some sort of sense of hope. I think when you're going through anxiety or depression, the one thing that always works is if someone's offering an ear or some kindness. It always works.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about the difference between anxiety and depression? Since I got depression.
Right. So anxiety is an ugly offshoot of depression. And for many years, I had depression but no anxiety. After I had that heightened experience about my friend's lifespan, my brain sort of kind of shut down and I passed out. And I can't technically explain it. But there are levels of intensity where you have depression for a prolonged period of time and you feel like you can't handle anymore. It becomes very intense. And not everybody who has anxiety has depression, but they say that it can. And for me, it did. Now, I'm so used to being a sad person, I could live with the depression, but the anxiety is urgent. You feel like you're giving up your life. You feel like you're in a struggle with your life. And it's only within your head. It's such a strange thing, isn't it? But it's in your head. And some of the coping skills that I talk about and we'll talk about in the meetings are things that you can do to sort of lessen that. And one of them is to redirect your energy. So if you're somebody that suffers from panic attacks, go do a task. It sounds crazy, right? Fold your laundry. Go to the computer and look up something. Put music on. Distract the mind. It's the mind going over something over and over again until you feel like you can't focus on something else. And it's very painful, but you can overcome them. There's something called cognitive behavior therapy where you learn to train your brain not to do that to itself.
How long does that take?
Oh, that could take... It depends on the person and their ability to be able to do it. Hypnosis is something that people have tried. Yoga. Meditation is something that I do. I joined a meditation group about 8 months ago, and once a month I go with a group of people, which sounds kind of crazy.
No, it's awesome.
And
I love it.
And we work on sort of emptying our brain and just letting it flow a little bit and being free. So I do meditation. Haven't done yoga. I'm not fit enough for yoga. I want to work on that. So yoga, meditation is good. Also, limiting the amount of caffeine in your diet, which helps, and alcohol. You know, alcohol is fine in moderation, but I know now when I go to a wedding, after my second drink, I'm okay. I can relax a little bit. You know, alcohol for people that have anxiety is often very good on the front end because it makes you less... a lot of people who have anxiety specifically have social anxiety. So if you have a couple of drinks, which I used to do before you go out, you feel terrific, but then you continue to drink. And if you drink too much because now you're enjoying yourself, the downside to it is that alcohol is a depressant. So when you come off the high of it, it's just awful. That downtime is just like darkness. So you have to balance it. So if you limit alcohol, you limit caffeine, you exercise. Very important to do cardio. Just walking. You don't have to do anything too strenuous. But walking, getting that stuff out, opening your heart, telling people when you're out you don't feel comfortable. And this helped me a lot too. I would get a lot of restaurants. People have different triggers. Mine, for some reason, was restaurants. Maybe because the first time I had one was in a restaurant. But mine was related to restaurants. So sometimes I'd be out with 12 people, and people would know something was wrong with me because I wasn't eating. I couldn't digest food because I was feeling so uncomfortable. When I started telling people I'm having anxiety, it wasn't the big elephant in the room anymore.
Right.
So it's sort of just sort of opening your heart to things. And those are some of the tips that I tell people to try. And you know, people process them differently. But people are coming to me now on a daily basis saying, I need to do this. What should I do?
So helpful. I can't even believe all the information that you're pouring out into this station right now. Like, I've learned so much. It's only 1:39, but we're going to go to our break real quick.
Sure.
Just because we wanted to give everybody a chance to catch up with us here. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People Today. It's August 9th, and our guest is author Richard Christopher Scuderi. The book he's talking about is his book called The Lonely Boy, and it's just, I guess, selling off the charts there. So you should pick up a copy, especially if you have someone in your world that may be struggling with depression and anxiety. And I know we're learning a lot here. So stay with us. We will have about 20 more minutes of this conversation. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
All right, welcome back to the end of our show here. It's Talented People, a special episode. Today is August 9th, and it's 1:43 in the afternoon. I actually have another show coming on for Talented People from 3 to 4 today, which is our normal showtime with my friend Bart Jackson, the Art of the CEO host, and we're going to have a good conversation. It's always fun with him. But for now, we're talking to our author, Richard Christopher Scuderi, who is also the host of one of the most popular shows here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, but his book is called The Lonely Boy. So tell everybody a little bit about your radio show.
Sure. Well, for the past 3.5 years, and I don't know where the time has gone, and we haven't aged a bit, right? I know you look the same. Better.
Oh, God.
So from 2 to 3.
Too every, kind.
From 2 to 3 every Wednesday, I do Modern Design. And Modern Design is sort of what I'm working on. I do a blog every Sunday with that week's topic. And our topic today is decorating a restaurant or commercial space. And one of the things, one of the accounts I have is the Boyle Hotel Group, and they have 3 properties in the general area, one in Westfield, one in Murray Hill, and one in Morristown, and I'm redoing the properties over, and we're taking them from hardcore traditional to more transitional style. And today's topic, we did the restaurant and all the ballroom spaces for the Murray Hill Inn, and Lisa Grafes, who is the co-owner of Moe's Bistro, which used to be, I don't know if you're familiar with Moe's Bistro, great restaurant, Mediterranean restaurant, which used to be in Lebanon, has relocated, and I'm working on that property.
Where's it at now?
It's now at 535 Central Avenue in New Providence, New Jersey.
Wow.
And Moe and Lisa are wonderful hosts. Their food is delicious. The best steak I've ever had.
Really?
I've been to Peter Luger's. I like their steak better. It's aged. It's delicious. It's fantastic.
Wow.
They're in the what's odd about their space is that they're in the restaurant, which used to be a freestanding restaurant, is in the Murray Hill Inn. So people don't always equate really good restaurants with hotel spaces, but this is a really good restaurant. So Lisa's going to talk today about the we're shooting the ballroom today for a magazine because it came out quite well. And we're talking about decorating the space. They're opening a bar. They got their liquor license now. So you're still going to be able to do BYOB, but also...
Oh, that's interesting.
You can have a drink there because it's a hotel. And we're breaking through creating a bar space. We're going to be creating an outdoor space for them as well.
Are you filming it as you go?
We are, yeah.
Oh, how fun. And so they're coming on in 10 minutes, right?
Yes. So Lisa will be here in about 10 minutes.
15 minutes, yep.
And that will be our show on that, which is a lot of fun. I do want to say one thing, though, Jeannie. As much as the topic of depression is a dark topic, this is not a dark book. It's a survival guide. There's a lot of humor in this.
I can't wait. I'm keeping this book.
Yes. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. So, you owe me $15. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I will.
I'm totally kidding about that. Anyway, so, but what I wanted to get at was you can buy this book. And maybe you can cry, and maybe you will, but it's actually a good book. It's a light book. It's a journey. If you look at me, most people have said to me, wow, Rich is somebody who's doing stuff with his life. I'm a depressed person, but I'm not a depressing person. You can approach this topic and still have joy in your life. I still have joys in my life, and I try to find the good in people and so on. So don't say, I don't want to read that book because it's going to be dark. It's not dark. It's about bringing light back into your life. It's actually kind of a light read.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'm interested. Do you have any speaking events scheduled anywhere?
I'm working on my next one is actually going to be at the Barnes & Noble. I'm going to be doing some stuff at the Barnes & Noble. And we have a series coming up. Because in addition to speaking about the book, I do privately for women's groups, for religious groups, Jewish groups, community groups. I do speaking engagements, teaching on series. So my last year's fall series was called The New Neutrals, whereas people are decorating a lot with more neutral tones now and they're doing pops of color. And I did them in a variety of things. We're going to do a new series this fall, which I'm still working on.
Neat.
But you can call. If you go to the website and you want to schedule me to come out and do an appearance and teaching, it's something that I do on a regular basis.
And it seems like you really do have a talent and you're so sincere to giving out this information. It's refreshing. I love the way you say that. I'm a depressed person, but I'm not a depressing person.
Well, that's the whole
thing.
That's
really weird. Like, it's just, wow, you got a lot to say.
No, but that's the whole thing about it. When you admit, like, I don't think my parents grew up and had the boy in the basket with the blue eyes and the blonde hair to say, boy, my son's going to be the poster child for mental illness, you know? But you know what? I'll gladly take on that role if that helps other people. Because mm-hmm. when people say, okay, well, he's still breathing, right? And he's got two legs and two arms and two eyes. So maybe it's okay to admit I have a problem. That's how you avoid disease. That's how you avoid other things happening in your life. So if I get to be the poster child for mental illness, bring it on.
Bring it on, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, tell everybody a little bit about your journey as an author.
So I want to talk a little bit about that because as much as I'm getting people are contacting me about depression, a lot of people, especially recently, have an idea, mm-hmm. and they want to have a book, and they look at me and they think, wow, you blinked your eyes and you have a book, and it's blue, it's got a nice cover. How the heck did you bring a book together? Well, to tell you the truth, a couple things. For me, my journey, that book took me 4 years of writing. So it's very important that your content be good and identifiable. And because I'm not an English major, because I'm a broadcasting major, I wasn't sure I could convey that to other people. So when writing a book, I think it's very important in your mindset, when you're writing something that you want other people to read, you have to be as clear as possible. So whatever your topic is, be very sure as you're writing something that you're introducing people in a way that they can identify with. And so on. And then everybody has a style of writing. I noticed with myself, my style was like kind of like watching a soap opera. Did you ever watch a sitcom? There's a scene and then another scene and then you go back to the first scene again and they play in each other. That's how I sort of write because that's my style and everybody has a style of writing. But you want to make sure that you're crystal clear, almost so
that it seems kind of silly in the beginning, that when you write, you're crystal clear about what you're writing about so people can understand and identify. And that's what I did. I wrote chapters at a time, and I sort of melded it, and then I went back. And for me, one of the things that I did is I wanted my book to be as truthful as possible, because I'm an old guy, but I remembered things from 1973. I want to make sure that they're right. So I went back and I Googled and I checked and I fact-checked the times and so on so that it would be as accurate as possible. Publishers that may want your book are going to do fact-checking.
Absolutely.
So you want to make sure whatever you put out there is your integrity, is yourself, that it has to be correct. And I went back and I checked dates and I checked things that happened. One thing that I will leak a little bit. One of the things that happened to me is that 10 days before JFK Jr. was killed in that plane, I was in that plane in his pilot seat. I was working...
What?
I was in the pilot seat. I was working part-time. Mavenhill Designs is older than 20, but 20 years since I've been incorporated in full-time. But I was always doing it part-time because that was part of my dad's, you know, business and so on. And I had a side business, but I was working for a big company, and I was working at... I was setting up Caldwell Airport in Fairfield. And the general manager of the airport kind of took a liking to me. We had a conversation. He goes, "Do you have a couple minutes?" And I said, "Sure." He goes, "I want to show you something." He brought me the most beautiful finished plane I had ever seen in my life. The leather, the upholstery, it was just beautiful, beautifully finished. Somebody, you know, put a lot of money into this plane. And he said to me, he goes, "Somebody very..." Oh, this is weird. It has John thing on it. Isn't that weird? That
yeah.
is weird. I'm looking
oh
at John.
My gosh.
So things like that happen to me all the
yeah,
time.
That's
so
a sign.
I'm on the plane. He goes, "Wow. It's somebody who's very famous, but I can't tell you who it is." 10 days later, on Friday night, and I checked the dates of when I remembered. It was exactly the right date. I looked up and on the TV, and that, I said, "Oh, that's the plane I was just in." And then I was like, "Oh my God, it can't be right." Then they said Caldwell Airport in Fairfield. That's why he went there, because he didn't get recognized. I was in his pilot seat 10 days before he was killed in that plane.
It's like everybody remembers where they were when his father got killed.
Yeah.
I remember exactly where I was when he went missing.
Exactly.
And I can't imagine being you in that. That's like, I don't even know what emotion I feel. Like, it's kind of like, you know, it's terrifying.
But you know what? It made me realize, Jeannie, more than ever, and this is one of the reasons I think I push forward, even though sometimes I'm depressed and I don't want to go any farther, is that you never know what's coming up next. Here's a guy who had everything, looks, money, talent, supposedly a great guy, and it was over for him. His time was done. So it made me very aware that our time here, good, bad, or indifferent, could be up at any time. So do the things that are important to you and make change in the world. And that's what The Lonely Boy is for me, hopefully.
That's awesome. And also writing the book is great. Mm. So before we go, I mean, we have a couple more minutes.
Sure.
What else would you like to share with everybody?
Well,
I really do think it's great that you're having that monthly meeting.
Sure.
I think you're going to affect a lot of people, both
sure.
through your book and the meeting.
Sure, and I hope it doesn't. And again, if you want to join us for the 100 County support group for anxiety and depression, you can give me a call at 908-884-0770, or you can email me in a strange and dated email. You're going to be mad at me when I tell you what my email is. It's CajunMaven@AOL.com.
I saw that before.
Okay, so you know
where did that come from?
Well, so Cajun was my black lab. Growing up, we never had a dog, and I had a dog when I could have my own dog. And I really loved him, and he was just sort of a joy in my life. So Cajun was my dog's name, and Maven is Mavenhill Designs.
Right.
And Maven stands for M-A, which is Marianne, who's my mother, who died of leukemia. And then V-I-N is my brother-in-law, Vincent, who died at 18 of leukemia.
Oh, my gosh.
So I dedicated my business to them, and I've had some good prosperity because I do believe in souls and good love around you and so on.
Oh, I do too. That's amazing.
So as far as that's concerned, you know, come
I was wondering because I was from Louisiana, so I thought Cajun.
Cajun,
I was
right.
like, does he come from Louisiana? What's that
dog thing? You know what's funny too? The name of my business is Maven Hill. And so people sometimes think, or like telemarketers, they see Maven Hill and they think my name is Marvin Hill.
Oh.
So they're like, Marvin, is Mr. Hill around? I'm like, this is Mr. Hill. No. So it's been a little bit of a struggle, but because of the significance of those souls in my life, I've never changed it.
Good for you.
It's important.
Tell everybody again where your stores are.
So I have two wonderful stores, very lucky to have them in a time when Macy's is closing stores, but I have two wonderful stores. My new store, which is not completely set up yet, but we're open for business, is I am in with Flemington Fan and Lighting at 176 Route 20231 North.
with over 6,000 square feet of space, beautiful furniture, accessories, colored glass, people. For fall, you want a gift for somebody, colored glass is very, very hot. The blues, the greens, a little pop of maybe orange if you want something that way. But colored glass is very in, have a ton of that and ton of that coming in. And my other store, if you want to head north, just near the Short Hills Mall, is my other Maven Hill location in the beautiful downtown village of Maplewood. I'm next to the Abel Baker. Go have a great cup of coffee and a scone. Good scones, lots of butter. And that's 191B Maplewood Avenue, Maplewood, New Jersey. Again, phone number for Maven Hill Designs is 908-884-0770. We do everything from a simple consultation. We have a one-off consultation for $199 for $200. I will come to your house. I'll walk through each room, give you general ideas, and a color palette to work on. So if you don't go any further than that, for $200, a pair of fresh eyes is unbelievably well worth it.
Especially if you're considering selling, I would think, right? And your staging history is very interesting.
Sure. I've had my real estate license. I don't want to run out of time. I've had my real estate license since 1988. I don't sell houses. I do it because I keep on all the Jeffrey Otto seminars and current on all my education so that when I go to sell a house in markets, certainly in New Jersey, there are certain parts that are kind of hard to sell a house, especially as we go further west because of the change in the economy. So things that you can do to update the house to bring more natural light into it and get your house sold for the most.
You sound like you're a very productive member of society there, Mr. Scuderi.
I'm trying.
Yeah. Well, so glad that you wrote this book, The Lonely Boy. Mm. Again, Richard Christopher Scuderi. He's the host of the show coming up next, Maven Hill Designs. It's 2 o'clock, and it's 1:56 in the afternoon. Good luck on your book. Your success.
It's being so generous with me today. I really appreciate your time and your insight also.
Oh, I will say on behalf of all of our listeners that this has been one of my favorite shows ever. Uh-huh. I've learned so much. It's great to be able to actually talk to you because normally you're walking out. I'm walking in for 3 o'clock.
We're 3 years of ships that pass.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Right? 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So, all right, listen, everybody out there, thanks so much for listening to Talented People today. I'll be back at 3 and stay around to listen to Richard's conversation next. Have a great day. And again, thank you so much, Richard, for being here today. Don't forget to buy a copy of the book, The Lonely Boy.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I think Americans should sleep well at night. I have no concerns about this particular rhetoric of the last few days.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson speaking to reporters on an Air Force transport about the situation in North Korea. He said the statements made by President Trump just reaffirm a strong stance against that nation.
I think he felt it necessary to issue a very strong statement directly to North Korea. But I think what the president was just reaffirming is the United States has the capability to fully defend itself from any attack and defend our allies, and we will do so.
French police say they have shot and arrested a man after a car ran down a group of French soldiers in a Paris suburb. A BMW plowed into the soldiers while they were standing by a military vehicle. 6 soldiers were wounded in the attack, 2 of them reportedly seriously. The soldiers were heading out on a patrol in the suburb when they were attacked. USA Radio News.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. I would like to invite you to be a stockholder in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share.
When I heard about Punch TV Studios, at first, I didn't know what to think. Then everyone kept talking about it. I went to the website, and now I'm a Punch TV Studios investor.
This is a tremendous opportunity for you and your family.
My children are my everything. I have to make sure that they are taken care of, not just for today, a future for my children.
Join me, and together we can build a multi-billion-dollar media company. Be part owner.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I think Americans should sleep well at night. I have no concerns about this particular rhetoric of the last few days.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson speaking to reporters on an Air Force transport about the situation in North Korea. He said the statements made by President Trump just reaffirm a strong stance against that nation.
I think he felt it necessary to issue a very strong statement directly to North Korea. But I think what the president was just reaffirming is the United States has the capability to fully defend itself from any attack and defend our allies, and we will do so.
French police say they have shot and arrested a man after a car ran down a group of French soldiers in a Paris suburb. A BMW plowed into the soldiers while they were standing by a military vehicle. Six soldiers were wounded in the attack, two of them reportedly seriously. The soldiers were heading out on a patrol in the suburb when they were attacked. USA Radio News.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. I would like to invite you to be a stockholder in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share.
When I heard about Punch TV Studios, at first, I didn't know what to think. Then everyone kept talking about it. I went to the website, and now I'm a Punch TV Studios investor.
This is a tremendous opportunity for you and your family.
My children are my everything. I have to make sure that they are taken care of, not just for today, a future for my children.
Join me, and together we can build a multi-billion-dollar media company. Be part owner in Punch TV Studios for only